Well, welcome, friends. Welcome to Give Me Credit. We're going to talk about credit today. I'm John Engen. That's John Mackey over there. John's the expert. I'm the dope. I'm just going to kind of feed him questions. He's going to give us the inside scoop on how we can make our credit better, how we can find out more about how bad is our credit, how good is it. I mean, maybe we should be positive about this, John.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times people don't realize really what's on their credit report. Yeah. And we can go over some of that stuff today.
You know, we'll cover a lot of bases, but one of the things that I want to talk about today, and I think maybe we'll major on this topic this morning, is you've got a guy. He's been calling you. He's telling you you owe them money. And I know that many of our listeners right now have felt this very same pain. They don't know what to do with that guy. They don't know how to handle him. That gal, doesn't make any difference what the gender is on the other side of the phone. They're saying the same thing. You owe us money, and we'd like you to pay us now. And I know that those calls are irritating, John. I know that they irritating might not even be the word I'm talking about. They kind of panic you every once in a while.
They can, and they're abusive. They can be abusive. The biggest thing that people have to know is that you do not have to talk with them. Okay, that's the basis for everything. Now, with that said, there are a lot of times when you pick up the phone and you don't know who it is and they catch you by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you say? Well, you basically, if you can, try to say as little as possible. But the most important thing you can never admit to is, number one, the debt. And number two, that what you want them to do is to send you that information, the debt information, to your mail.
Okay. Let's stop right there and dissect two things, because I think those are two pivotal points.
Yes.
Number one, you don't admit to the debt. Tell me why.
Because it's their job to prove that you owe that debt, even if you know. It's kind of like going to court and saying, or not pleading guilty to something. It's, mm-hmm. it's not saying you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's you're saying, I want you to prove it.
Yeah.
Because the burden of proof is in the criminal system, as it is in the credit system, is that they've got documentation. They put this on your credit report, but now it's their objective. What they should be doing is to prove that that debt is yours. So you don't admit it.
So that takes us to step two then.
Yes.
And that is, your next statement to them is, you send me documentation.
That is correct.
Is there a way we need to word that to make it most effective?
You could say something like, I know my rights. I know that you need to send me documentation of this debt. Please do so. And if they keep on going on with the conversation, then you keep on going back to, send me the documentation. Send me the documentation.
All right. Now, you said something that I want to jump off of. You said, I know my rights. And in many cases, people aren't aware of their rights. What Correct. Are their rights in regard to these things?
It's like what I call the Miranda warning for for credit.
Okay.
Number one, you have the right to remain what? Silent. Do it. Exercise it. You never have to say anything to them. That's issue number one. But if you do start talking and they try to get you to pay something over the telephone, or they start call or abusing you, hang up on them. Because here's issue number two. If they call back, that is a direct violation, because they can only speak to you one time that day.
Oh, really?
Even if you hang up.
I was not aware of that.
Correct.
Because I did have a situation where I had a short sale on a house, and there was a second mortgage on that house that I was then obligated to. And at that stage, we were still in limbo on the sale of the house, the majority holder of the mortgage. But the second mortgage was the guy who was pounding at me, and they would call five or six times a day. It seems like, it seemed like every time they changed a shift, I got it. Every time somebody went out to go potty, the next person sat in and called me. You know, and I felt like that was going on, because I know one time I had calls at least five or six times. So once a day.
Once a day, they can talk with you or leave a message.
Okay.
If they don't leave a message and don't speak with you, they can continue on calling. Now, how many times they call, and how in what time frame is bordering could border on harassment.
Okay.
So, for example, I had a client in which the client owed a debt collector some money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They said that he owed it. The issue here is that they called him, it was 45, 46 times in an hour and a half.
Oh, my.
Now, is that harassment?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No court in the land would say it wasn't harassment.
You're right.
Now, if they call you once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the evening, that probably isn't. But the best thing to do, because I know a lot of people might try to avoid those phone calls. Number mm-hmm. one, if you answer that phone, they can't, you don't have to say anything. Okay, that's number one. Number two, what you can do is get their address, find out who they are.
Okay.
Number one, tell them to send the information mm-hmm. to your mail.
Yeah.
Number two, ask them who they are and their address. They have to give it to you. And then you send them a cease and desist letter, which states that you do not have to talk with them. They can no longer communicate with you via the phone. If this happens at work, you can do it that way. That's a whole different rule.
Yeah.
But if they call you at home, send them a cease and desist letter. Now, if they violate that, we've got direct conflict with the laws. The laws being the Fair Credit Reporting Act
right.
and the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act.
You brought up the work thing. Let's grab that and squeeze it just a little bit.
Okay.
Can they call me at work?
If they know that that they are not allowed to call, then they cannot.
Okay.
Now, if they call you and you tell them, my office does not allow these phone calls at work, they have to stop. If they don't, it's a violation.
Okay. Well, folks, we're talking to John Mackey. He's talking about credit. He's talking about creditors. He's talking about predator creditors that come after you. John, one point that you and I have talked to off microphone that I want to bring to the conversation today is this. Is there a difference in the way you'll be approached if you are called by the person to whom you actually owe the money or to the person who may have purchased your debt? Is that a different relationship?
There are two different ways that a debt collector gets debts. One is they are assigned the debt, and the other is where they purchase the debt. So let's say Visa card. You've got a Visa card and you're late on the payments, and Visa calls you. Typically, you should talk with them.
Okay.
There should be no cease and desist letter going to them because they're trying to collect on a debt that you legitimately owe mm-hmm. to them. However, with a debt collector, it's different. The reason why it's different is because if they have sold or assigned that debt to this debt collector, you have no idea who this debt collector is. And historically, there's been some real big examples of this happening. I'll give you one. Where it was a firm that was working out of California. They moved their operations to India. They, in turn, started calling back using Google telephone numbers or cell phones that they have or whatever,
right.
using area codes from the United States, so it looks like it's coming back from the United States. Prior to this, they had stolen a lot of payday loan documentation.
Oh.
So they go over to India, and they badger these people, and they started collecting on these alleged debts.
Okay.
Now, here's the reality. They didn't own them. This collection company did not own the debt. They weren't assigned the debt. But they knew so much about the debt that a lot of the people assumed that they were collecting on behalf of payday loans.
Oh, my.
So as a result,
wow.
they collected over $8
million.
No. $8 million, that's with an M, dollars
oh.
from these people.
You know,
that's why I say we've got to have them prove the debt. The Attorney General for the state of Minnesota and for the country has said this. Make them prove the debt. It shouldn't be a surprise to a debt collector when you tell them this.
Prove it. And virtually, they should have all the documentation. If they're calling you,
right.
then they're saying that they have the debt. when I found myself in a situation, my problem, the second mortgage, had actually been sold to a collection agency, not on behalf of the mortgage company, but they bought
they
the
actually
debt.
Sold it.
They bought the debt.
Right.
And I found that a lot more convoluted. I found that a lot more difficult because they didn't seem to have as much documentation. And in fact, when the debt was finally satisfied, ultimately satisfied via the short sale and all that kind of stuff, it stayed. It stayed forever on my credit report.
Right.
And it just seemed like I couldn't get back into their lives to say, are you guys going to report this or not? And I found that to be very frustrating.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, one of the things, based on your last question, I didn't answer was we've gone over the assignment, but what about when they purchase the debt, which is what you're talking about now? When they purchase the debt, they're actually buying that debt. They've purchased for a sum of money, typically 5 to 10% of what the original debt was. So, for example, if you've got a $50,000 debt on a second mortgage or something of that nature, and the debt collector purchases that, they might purchase it for $5,000. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they can collect on the full 50.
Oh.
Okay? But they're also more willing to negotiate that down to anything over $5,000.
Yeah, they just want
profit.
They just want a profitable return on their investment.
This is a churn and burn operation.
Sure.
All they want is their investment back. So, but typically a debt collector will buy a book of debt, okay? So there could be thousands of debts in there that they're buying. Could be millions of dollars in debt that they're buying.
Mm.
But they're buying the right to collect on it. And typically they do not have the documentation for that debt, okay?
That's what I found. That's what I found.
Right. And if they don't have that documentation, cannot go on the credit report, you cannot be sued for it, they cannot collect on it legally. Now, can they come after you and attempt to collect on it? Nothing prohibits them from doing that.
Mm.
But they do not have the legal horsepower any longer to come after you.
Wow. John Mackey, we're talking to John Mackey. Let me have you give your credentials. You're a man who does this for a living. You help people walk through the credit mystery and mostly trying to repair credit, but also giving people encouragement how to build credit and do positive things with
Absolutely.
Their credit report.
Yeah.
How does a person get in touch with you, John, if they want to find out more about what you do?
Well, I've got many numbers. One's toll-free at 888-417-3400. I am located locally here in the northern suburbs, but I own a country that's nationwide. And the local number is 612-216-4910.
All right. Well, John Mackey is the man who knows it all. Like I said, I just kind of poke him every once in a while, see if he can give me something good, and he does. I'm here to tell you folks, credit is something we're all involved with. We all have a credit report. If you are an adult and you've made purchases and you have credit cards and you have a mortgage or a car loan or something like that, there is a number that represents your life, possibly three different numbers I've learned.
Correct.
That people are looking into whether you know, it's interesting, John, I found out again this week that employers will often be completely outside of what your responsibilities may be to that employer are going to check your credit rating to see just what type of responsibility you offer. And I thought, that's interesting.
It is. It is. And they're trying to corral that legislatively because there's a lot of companies that are delving into private lives of people in which they have no business doing. Now, if you're handling money, I can understand it. But I'll give you an example of a person that was going to school, started working on a part-time basis for this company. After school, they hired her full-time. 6 months later, she was fired. And she asked that company why she was fired. And they said, it's because of your credit report. Nothing had changed prior to that. The only thing that had was that the student debt now had appeared.
Wow.
And she owed, according to them, too much money. Now, could this have been a way to fire her without letting her know the real reason? Possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
But they used the credit report as an example, as a reality. And unfortunately, this is going on time and time and time again, where people are trying to delve into your private lives. You know, people think that there are only three reporting agencies out there. There's more. Mm-hmm. There are a couple that are hidden, that you don't know about, that do not fall under the purview of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Wow. And one's based out of Atlanta, and they will dig up data on you to see it's a counter alternative to the three major ones, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Mm-hmm. It's brutal what the kind of information that people are digging up on you.
I can imagine. Wow. Let's get back to the phone call. Phone rings.
Okay.
What can that person say to me? What tenor, what tone can they offer me?
They can, first of all, they have to describe who they are. They have to tell you what company they're from and what they're doing. By law, they have to say this is an attempt to collect a debt.
Yeah.
Now, what do you have to say at that point? You don't have to say anything. But the tenor of their voice, a lot of times they might say, I'm not going to use the words, but there's been some absolute brutal things.
Yeah, you've told me some stories that are nightmarish.
They are of a horror show
image
that you can get. The words that they could use, the desire or their explanation that they're going to throw you in prison.
Okay.
Or they're going to take away your children, and we have the police on the way over. All fabrications, all lies on their part.
Because that's not within their power to do so.
It's not within their power to do so, nor can they get a police officer to come in and make that. You don't go to prison in this country over debts. You do not. Okay?
Okay.
So they can threaten a lawsuit. They can threaten anything that they want, but you're not going to prison. Mm-hmm. Now, if they adjudicate it down the line, meaning they take you to prison, not to take you to prison, if they take you to court down the line,
right,
then it's possible that you could have a court order for garnishment of wages or something like that. But you will not go to prison.
Yeah. They're going to find a way to get it out of you.
Maybe, if they have the documentation. Right. Then I'll go back to the documentation again.
What happens? There are two questions that are sitting in my head that have I think, relative to this conversation, but they cannot threaten you.
No.
Okay, and that's in violation of statutes that are already in place.
What I call the FDCPA, the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act.
All right, so they cannot threaten you.
Correct.
And that takes me to point number two, is what about those who are saying, you know what, can you just pay $20? Is that a good idea?
I stop here because it is one of the worst ideas that you can do. Here, there are a variety of reasons, but here are the two major ones. Number one, if you pay them over the telephone, they now have your credit card or your checking, routing, and account number. So let's say it's a $1,000 debt, and they say, just give me $10.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, you know, if it'll shut them up, it's worth the $10.
Right.
So you pay them the $10. What's to stop them from taking $500? The entire $1,000
mm-hmm.
that you just had in the bank because your mortgage was now due or your rent was now due. So now they wipe that out.
And there's nothing more than a verbal agreement that you're making this happen. So
absolutely.
You may say 20 and they'll say, oh, I heard 2,000.
Correct. Or we don't have a record of that conversation.
Wow. Wow. So making a payment is not a good idea, but
there's another reason.
Go tell me.
And that is, in every state in the union, there is a statute of limitations on a debt. A lot of times, a debt collection company will buy a book of debt. And there are some out there that will buy just debts that are beyond the statute of limitations.
Oh.
Okay. So it's technically uncollectible. But what that does is, if you make one $5 payment, $1 payment, a penny payment, I'm becoming absurd now, but if you make any payment to that debt, it reactivates that debt, beyond the statute of limitations into now, and now they've got another 6 years to collect
on. In essence, you have just reset the clock.
Absolutely. Oh. 100% right.
Oh, my. There's another part to this. Man, my mind is just reeling with questions because I'm still on the phone. I'm talking to this guy, and he says, let me just verify some information. Where do you live?
Your answer to them would be, what address do you have for me?
Okay.
It's not your job to give them information.
Mm-hmm.
It's their job to find out. Now, which brings up another question, a lot of the skip tracing methods, they may go to a parent or to your neighbors and say, or, you know, friends or somebody else. Facebook is a great place to find out where your friends are. A
lot of information out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or Twitter.
Oh,
another place to get a lot of information.
Indeed.
And they find out, well, they might say, this is Bill Smith from ABC Credit Company, and I'm trying to find John Engen. And they say, well, I don't know where he's at. Okay, that's fine. They can do that. But if they say, I'm trying to find John Engen because he's a thug and he's not paying his bills and we're going to come after him and take him to prison. Okay, now there's a whole lot of violations in that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But they cannot disclose why they're coming, why they're trying to talk to you.
That's interesting. You know, there's so many variables out there. And of course, what I found was they were counting on intimidation to press their point.
Absolutely. And they always do that.
You know, I found myself, don't you want to pay your bills? How come you don't? The gal on the other end, I pay my bills. Don't you pay your bills? Well, I do. But in this certain circumstance, we found ourselves in a situation that many Americans have found themselves in.
Right.
Many of our listeners, I would imagine, that, yeah, we pay our bills. We want to be accountable. We want to be on time. We wouldn't choose where we are right now if we could.
Right.
But we are. And, you know, that person belittling you, berating you, beating you up verbally, that's not within the scope of what should happen.
No. There was one company out there that I have investigated a little bit. And I won't give the name of them. But what they would do is they had an incentive for the debt collectors that if they could get the person on the other end of the phone to cry.
Oh, my.
They got a bonus.
Oh, my.
Unbelievable.
I just am amazed. Well, John Mackey is with us today. He is our man with Give Me Credit. John is a man who does this as a living. And at the end of the program, I'm going to ask you to, John, to give your contact information again, because I know there are people scrambling. So here's what I'm giving you the heads up, folks. Get your pens, get your papers out, and be ready to jot down John's number, maybe an email address, because I think it would be profitable for you to at least contact John to see where you can go with all this. And from personal experience and having talked to John, he's able to help you through some of the messes that you may have on your credit report and help clean those up. You've got a decent record on that.
Yeah, typically, you know, on a national basis, our average right now for the year 2011, which is the last time we've got data, was a 71% deletion rate off of credit reports.
Wow.
Extremely high, and we get some great results. The reason for it, partially, is that we have attorney-facilitated credit repair, meaning the attorneys write the letters, the attorneys send it off on their envelopes, on their stamp, you know, all the information.
Right.
The reason for that is because the bureaus treat correspondence from attorneys differently than they do from credit repair companies or from the public in general.
You just as a private citizen, right?
Most of the stuff is shipped overseas. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, really?
It's third world. I shouldn't say third world, but technically it is.
It's
India is one of the places, Jamaica's another, and the Philippines is another.
Okay.
So the three bureaus outsource that information for investigation.
All right. We'll give you John's address, his contact information, as we grow closer to the program. That's about 5 minutes from now. John, I want us to discuss one side of this, the responsible citizen who finds out he owes $1,000, and yeah, I've got $1,000 in the bank. I'm going to take this off my credit report. I'm going to clean that baby up, and I'm just going to pay that $1,000. That's
a huge mistake.
Tell me why.
A credit report score on you is based on a snapshot or a series of snapshots going from this period right now and then going back. So the further you go back, the less a derogatory affects your score.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're going for a home loan and you all of a sudden you find out, and this is happening a ton right now, you've got a $60 medical debt out there. And you find out that, well, this may prohibit me from getting the loan. And so you're thinking, I'll just pay this off. Okay, two issues. Number one, if you pay that off, your score is going down 50 points.
Wow.
So if you had a 680 score, you're going down to now a 630. Some FHA programs, you need a 640 to get in, mm-hmm. okay? Or if you're right at that borderline, you need a 640, you got a 641, 642, and you get that. You just say, I'm going to be the right guy. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to pay this off. Here's the other thing, though. It doesn't come off your credit report just because you pay it off.
Oh.
And I find that to be a huge problem because the entire issue with putting an item on a credit report by a debt collector is to get it paid, to get them paid.
Oh.
So if it gets them paid, why wouldn't they take it off the credit report?
Oh, that's a good question. Why does it drop when you've satisfied the debt?
Excuse me. Because it brings an old bad debt into a new bad debt status.
So that goes back to your conversation that as your credit statement goes longer out,
correct,
those issues that are further out have less impact on you today.
Correct.
But if you pay it off today, you just drag that bad debt into today.
Correct.
Ah.
And I can give you a prime example of this because it happened just this past week where a gentleman who was going for a home loan, he and his wife, he had a score of 750. She had a score of 720. In order to refinance their house, conventional financing, they needed a 700 score.
Okay.
Both of them, a mid-score of 700 to get this refi. There was a medical debt that went on her credit report that she was totally unaware of. And this is a whole different issue now
mm-hmm.
because of their violations of the law. But this item goes on the credit report. Her score goes down from 720 to 656.
Ooh. Oh.
So does it happen? Absolutely. I see documentation of it every day.
Well, John, our time is for the most part all run out. I want you to be able to give your contact information to our listeners because, you know, when you and I first had this conversation, just thinking about radio, thinking about the opportunity to get the word out, the thing that challenged me was everybody goes through this. We all have a credit report. And some of you, God bless you, your credit report's just fine. And I'm glad that's true. For the most of us, we've got some bruises. How does somebody get in touch with you?
Well, they can contact me via phone if they'd like at 612-216-4910. Or toll-free, 888-417-3400. Or they can email me, John Mackey, that's M-A-C-K-E-Y, at Master Credit Solutions, with an S at the end, .com.
All right. John Mackey, you are you're good. I like what you do, and as I close the program out today, I want to say what you will also do as you work with these folks is not just try to scrub it down, get the stuff off, but teach us, guide us, help us to put some good stuff on.
Which we've got proprietary means. You know, to make it quick, there are three ways to get your credit score up. Delete, remove the bad, keep the positive positive, and get good on.
Right.
And we have proprietary ways to get positive information on a credit report.
All right. The program is Give Me Credit, and we will see you next week.